All right, this morning is the fourth of a series that we're working through. The New Creation Health series is the series that we're working on. Today is the fourth lesson, and the title of this one is Healing Through the Word. Healing Through the Word. And I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew 16, 19. Let's start there. Matthew 16, 19. Jesus speaking, and speaking specifically to Peter, directly to Peter, indirectly to the rest of the disciples who were there at the same time that he's presenting this message to Peter. Verse 19, and I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of the heaven, of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Anybody heard that verse before and read it? All right. There's so much to this subject matter concerning the kingdom. You know, all of this year, every message that I have brought to you has been crafted from a kingdom perspective, trying to identify the kingdom, trying to learn it myself and present to you how the kingdom operates so that you as a member of the body of Christ can enjoy and exhibit your inheritance. I'm going to go back and listen to what I just said because I think that was absolutely brilliant. Enjoy and exhibit the realities of the kingdom, the operation of the kingdom. All right, so Matthew 16, 19 is a part of this subject matter, and we're going to deal specifically with healing. Now, first of all, I want you to know that when Jesus used the word keys, he was using it in the Jewish tradition, the Jewish thinking. Keys of the kingdom represent far more than permission, far more than permission. Permission to enter, or permission to shut the door and prevent entrance for somebody else. The keys represented here are keys of authority. Keys of authority to open so that you can enter. Or authority to shut and refuse entrance. Okay? So what you bind on earth, the word says here, Jesus saying, what you bind on earth will have already been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will have already been loosed in heaven. Remember the prayer that Jesus prayed. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And the privilege that we have as sons and daughters of God is to bring kingdom reality to a lost world. Would you agree with that? All right. So with that, it's far more than privilege or permission to enter. It's authority. Keys. Instruments of authority. And since it's the Father's good pleasure to give every child of God the kingdom, it stands to reason he would also give us the keys of authority. It just makes logical sense that that's what Jesus was speaking of. What you as a child of God bind here on earth is already bound in heaven. It's enforced. And what you loose on earth by the believer is also loosed in heaven. And what we're referring here are what's being loosed is the kingdom reality, the presence, the purpose, the pleasure of God into mankind. Presenting that, revealing that, exhibiting that, exerting that into a lost, dark world. All right, so let's consider this kingdom principle of binding and loosing this morning concerning healing, learning to exercise authority that we've been granted by God Himself. By God Himself. This is not self-claimed authority. This is not an effort to attain something and then demonstrate it. It is something you've been freely given. I've discovered, and chances are you have too, that when I'm lacking in authority, at least in my mind, I don't have a lot of confidence in a matter. I'm not sure what to do. I'm looking and waiting for something that would tell me what to do if I don't have authority to operate or to speak into a matter. I'm waiting, I'm watching, I'm backing off. Either I'm recognizing that somebody else has authority here, or I'm not recognizing any authority, and so I don't exert, or I don't move forward, I don't participate, I stand back. I'm fearful, and I use that word in a right way, I'm fearful that the body of Christ has backed off in many, many areas. When it comes to kingdom operation, we backed off. We don't recognize authority, and because we don't recognize authority, we don't have confidence to deal in matters. And when we don't have confidence and authority to deal with a matter, the matter deals with us. And so the body of Christ is being dealt with over and over again by lies and insinuations and threats and stressful, fearful tactics, much of which has to do in the area of health. The loss of health or sickness, the attack that comes upon the body of Christ. So if we're unconvinced that God heals, and if we're not convinced that he wants to heal, if we're not convinced that he has healed, and we're unsure of the area of authority, we're just going to back off and be very loosey-goosey when it comes to sickness and not deal with it head on. It reminds me of the fella who says that and that fella could be me or you at any given time in years gone by, saying that I believe that God has allowed me to be sick so I can learn from him, I can be taught by him. Really? Is that really why you're sick? So that God can teach you a lesson? What does that say about the Father? If that's what we believe, what does it say about him? It says a lot about the Father, if that's what I believe. And so my tendency is not to be intimate with him because I don't know that I trust him. I don't know that I trust his best intentions because I don't want to be sick. I don't want to be diseased. I don't want to be unhealthy. I don't want my body to be bludgeoned by the attack of infection and things that make me feel bad. If that's the Father's intention, if that's his purpose, so I can learn my lesson, well, that doesn't sound like a Father I really want to relate closely to. And that isn't the Father. It's not him. That's not how he operates. Now, is it possible that you can learn things when you're sick? Well, absolutely. Is it possible that Romans 8:28 comes into play when you're sick, that all things work together for good to those who love him, those called according to his purpose? Absolutely. But that's because he's a loving father, not an angry father, not a father that's disciplining out of resentment that you're just not learning your lessons well, therefore he's going to have to strike you down so you can get your lessons learned. That's not him at all. If that is what you believe about the Father, then why is it that you run to the doctor to get better? If it's his will that you be sick so you can learn your lesson, why are you so quick not to learn your lesson and get better? Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Thank you, brother. You stole my power. That's where I was going. Yes, absolutely. No, we'll get to that. Oh my gosh, being sick, if God's word, if that's his way of teaching me how to live righteously or how to live by faith, if that's his way, then I ought not be going to doctors. I ought to be staying sick in Jesus' name rather than praying for healing in Jesus' name. And when you're sick, why is it that your body is crying out to get better if it's God's pleasure or plan that you be sick? God has created your body to fight off and resist illness and to focus all of its energy where you're injured and where you're hurt. And why is it that God has created you that way to get you better, get you healed up as fast as possible if he's trying to keep you sick so you can learn your lesson? It's ridiculous. That's religious nonsense. Quit trying to get better if it's God's will for you to be sick. Let's quit playing those games. Quit praying for each other. Quit it. So we just need to get over our religious bad selves and decide that when we're sick, that something's wrong with me. That's why I'm sick. There's something wrong. not something good, not something righteous, something's wrong, and I need to be healed. When I'm suffering with pain, the pain is telling me that something's wrong with me. Not something's right, or something's good, or something's going to be good. It's something's wrong, and I need to focus my attention where there's pain, where there's injury. Let's find out how to get healed, how to get better. You're not to dismiss it or accept it as God's will. Oh, well, this must be one of the most lesson learning times, so I'll just abide under my sickness and feel miserable. Well, I just think that's the wrong way of looking at things. Sickness is not designed by God to help you. It's not designed by God to help you any more than sin is designed to help you. It's not designed by God for that. Can he use it, strengthen you and equip you, and can things be benefited by? Absolutely. That's not what I'm saying. God's still an absolute sovereign and in authority, and he's a great father, so no matter what happens, he can bring incredible good out of it. But it's not that he's waiting because you're stubborn and not learning your lessons well to get you sick, so you will. Make you weak, make you uncomfortable, make you painful. No. All right, now take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalms 107. 107, 17 through 19. We need to trust God's word about our condition and what he's saying about us, what his plan and his purpose is for us. We need to trust his word. Psalms 107, 17 through 19. Listen to this. Fools, because of their rebellious way and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Didn't sound like the Father to me, does it? To you? Because of rebellious ways and their iniquities, they were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all kinds of food, and they all drew near to the gates of death. And no, these were some pretty sick folk. Verse 19. Then they cried out to the Lord. Didn't say anything about, they paid attention and learned their lessons well. No. They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. What did he do in verse 20? He sent his word, Sal, right? He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. He sent forth his word and healed them, delivered them. What did the people do to deserve this great act of God? They paid close attention. Did they change their ways? Did they confess all of their sins over and over and over and over and over again and make sure that there wasn't anything left uncovered? Well, that all of that would have been helpful and handy, I'm sure, but that's not what they did. What'd they do? They cried out to the Lord. They cried out to him. And he responded, sent forth his word and healed them. The more I focus on the word, the more I focus on the Father, the more I focus on the finished work of Christ, I find out just how magnificent this fellow is. I'm sorry, does that sound too common a term? Find out how wonderful this incredibly divine, everlasting creator is. He is wonderful and intimately involved in every detail of our lives. God sent forth his word and healed them. Now listen, the very same word that he sent forth there in Psalms became flesh and blood and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And what did the living word do when he came? He healed all manner of disease. He sent forth his word, and he healed them. Magnificent. Jesus, the word made flesh, abides in the new creation. The more I think about who I am in Christ, the more I think about what he's accomplished, the more things make sense to me about how the kingdom of God operates and how I can exercise rightful authority that's been granted to me. This righteous one, the creator of all that there is, abides in me when I believed, abides in me. The word says he's not withheld any good thing from me. All things pertaining to life and godliness have been granted to me. His righteousness has now become mine. His holiness has now become mine. How do I know that? Because the Holy Spirit dwells intimately with me, and he couldn't if I weren't made holy as well. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit where he dwells comfortably by the finished work of Christ. He's done some magnificent things in us. It's all him. And all did I, what did I do? I cried out to him by faith. And he swept in by his promise and by the giving of his son, he swept in and made me a brand new creature, a brand new creation. Where old things have passed away, all things are new. Sin washed away, cleansed, taken away, removed forever, never again to haunt me, to hold me captive. You know, to captivity doesn't mean I don't sin. It's just that it's not held against me. Jesus became sin on my behalf that I might become the righteous of God in Christ. I might be the righteous of God in Christ. So my identity is separate from my behavior. My behavior should live up to my identity, but it doesn't, and I'm not held in captivity by it. I'm not condemned by it. Why? Because Jesus took all that upon himself. That's the good news. Amen? And that's how we're saved, and that's how we stay saved. That's how we can have intimate relationship with the Father now and not wait till I'm dead and stand before him so all this is washed away. I am in intimate relationship with him now. Christ lives in me. His life living in me and everyone who believes. He sent forth his word and healed them. And I'm absolutely convinced that sickness and disease does not live by the Spirit. It's not according to kingdom operation. It doesn't live there. It doesn't reside there. Sickness and disease by its very nature attacks life. Attacks healthiness, attacks vitality, attacks productivity. It's an invasion of sorts to destroy. That's not God. It's not God at all. And so we have every right in Jesus' name to oppose it and to exercise authority, not plead to God as if we're going to have to change his mind about this. He's already said his name. He's already presented his name. His name is Jehovah Rapha. I am the God who heals you. He's already presented that to us. That is my covenant name. That covenant, his covenant pronouncements are forever. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the God who heals you. I sent forth my word and I've healed you. By his stripes we are healed. Every disease that Jesus encountered was healed. Is he not a healing God? He is a healing God. And we ought to be far more confident in our praying for people that healing is their right. Is their privilege as a child of God. We ought to be very confident about that and stand our ground until there's no ground to stand for people. Now, their confidence and their faith might not be at that level. That's not going to hinder God. We stand in the gap. Moses needed people to hold his arms up when he got weary. There are people who get weary. I get weary. I need people that can walk at a level that I'm not capable of walking in. Thank goodness for the body of Christ. Who comes to our aid. I'm not an island. I'm not a lone ranger. I'm not designed to be that way. I'm made a member of the body of Christ. I'm not even the head, nor are you. The head tells the body how to operate. And he's telling us, I've given you the keys to the kingdom, to bind and to loose. Learning to stand in that. Now, authority is authority by itself, but learning to exercise it is a whole other thing. Standing in a place of cooperation, trusting and believing that the one who gave it to you will perform what he's promised. So is it really an issue of whether or not it's our gifting or is it occasion or is it timing issue? No. It's just our lack of confidence that God has said will do and has done what he said he will do. The other night, last week, many of you know that my son Clayton, youngest son, was injured pretty badly in a, he worked in a restaurant in a kitchen and was always in charge of picking up heavy frozen chicken bags and picking up it from one place and twisting and turning and placing them in another and a fine, healthy, strapping young man. But at one point in time, that 50-pound bag or whatever it was, picked it up, twisted, and something gave, and he fell to his knees and two herniated discs. And still has, you know, to this day, 3 years later, has been suffering terribly from that. And of course, there's legal things that we're working through, and I can't tell you how many doctor visits, and finally had an approval for surgery. The surgery Doctor said he did all he could do and felt like it was good, but the pain hasn't been removed. The aggravation's still there, and is in constant pain, and the medications aren't doing the trick. And those of you who have back pain can fully comprehend and understand what that's all about. Just doesn't give up, doesn't quit, stays there all the time. And that'll wear out a 21 or 22-year-old man. Yeah, wear out anybody. But when he's thinking of his future, this is the rest of my life, I'm going to have to live with this. It's very difficult for a young man to think through. So Tammy and I have been laboring for him in prayer and just trying to find God's pleasure in all this, not beyond healing, but certainly that. We want our son healed. Any father would. Any mom would. So the other night, my father-in-law, Jack Taylor, and his wife, Frieda, were able to come over. We haven't seen them in a number of months, and we came over. We're over here at Four Rivers and eating and started a conversation with Clay to ask him how his back was doing, and my father-in-law began to share with him what I've been teaching here and what I've been sharing with my son about God's a healing God's son, Clay. God's a healing God. And there's some things about this that I want you to know. This is our conversation, but primarily my father-in-law speaking to my son. But first of all, do you believe, and this is important for you to understand, first of all, do you believe that God heals?
Yes.
And Clay says yes, just like you did. Secondly, he says, do you believe he wants to heal?
Yes.
Clay said, I believe he does, just like you did. And then Jack says, by his stripes we were healed. Clay, do you believe he has healed you? And Clay pauses, just like anybody would, because I feel the pain going down my back and my leg, and I know what I've just, the number of hours I spent behind the wheel doing my job and the aggravation of pain, and so he hears that and says, all right, if I say he has healed me, and then I'm lying because of all the pain and all of that and so forth, and Jack says, well, let me help you understand something, son. And this was helpful for me to hear. He says, he talked about his testimony when he was struggling with emphysema when he was a young man and had to have the inhaling devices. And at one point in time, he'd forgotten it, and he would drive 2 or 3 hours back to get it or something. If I guess he couldn't find it at the store. If it was, I don't know. For whatever reason, he wouldn't go into a panic, but he'd be very anxious if he didn't have his inhaler with him. So he'd go back, and he realized that he had more confidence and faith in the inhaler than he did in God's healing of him. And one evening, he's just before the Lord, and God just began to speak to him as he's being weighted of the condition that he was in, not so much about the sickness, but about God's disposition concerning this. And God was just trying to convince him, son, I want you to know something. Not only am I able to heal and want to heal, I have healed you. And he says, well, what about this and what about this? He says, well, what about it? He says, I told you I've healed you. What are you going to believe? You're going to believe the symptoms that are lingering, or are you going to believe what I've told you? I know this gets us on some goofy areas. I know that. Could be. But I'm convinced of this, that God has healed. Now, if it's just left up to me to make that healing a reality, I get where we get into some areas of work or some areas of manipulative faith and other things. I get that. And I'm not going to go there personally. I won't do that. I'd never get goofy about things like that, and I won't. I've seen too much of that junk. But there's something about God's word. If he says he's done it, he's done it. And whatever is arguing against it needs to bow its knee rather than me bowing my knee to that. I'm tired of bowing my knee to things that should be bowing its knee. Tired of doing that. And Clayton, so I'm going to decide and believe and I'm going to start confessing in the midst of the pain if it lingers, that God has healed me. I'm going to do that. That evening, shortly after that conversation, he stood up. Jack asked him to. So I want you to stand up, son. Do something that would normally bring you pain. Do something. See, that's just, sometimes things happen, you don't even know what's going on. Clay gets up and starts moving around and all that, and he's kind of sheepish and a little bit embarrassed, and he goes, he said, I honestly couldn't do that earlier without excruciating pain. Says that there's a tightness, but the pain is not there. Already there has begun headway. Now, he has not walked out that healing in a way that they would just come in here and do flip-flops and cartwheels and all that yet. I'm convinced he's going to. And I believe it's a claiming and a walking out what God has already declared. Now, you have to hear God for yourself. I know that on some of these things. But if you're thinking that this is just your dark cloud that you just have to cope with for the rest of your life, I believe you misunderstood what God has said concerning you and your condition. If you're sick, the purpose of that sickness is for you to get better, not to stay in your sickness. Let's let our confidence grow because of the authority Christ has given to us to bind and to loose. Whatever we bind on earth will have already been bound in heaven. What we loose on earth will have already been loosed there in heaven. Bringing kingdom reality, the purpose, the plan, the character, the pleasure of God into reality for you and for those around you. Thus we have as the privilege of the body of Christ. And the world will take notice when the kingdom of God is in operation. The church that doesn't understand the kingdom will never be relevant. And she'll look after one program after the next, one fad after another to try to keep things moving along. But those that comprehend and understand the kingdom stay relevant 24/7. That's a hallelujah right there. Amen. Stand up with me. Let's pray. So glad you came today. As you're standing, two verses I'm going to read to you in conclusion here. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, bone and marrow, joint and marrow, able to judge the thoughts and intents of the heart." The word, Jesus, at cellular levels into your body in terms of the new creation. Nothing left untouched. And then Hebrews 8:11, "He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies." Mortal bodies, that means a body that's passing away. Life to your mortal body. Life. And that kind of life is good life, right life, abundant life. If your body is not cooperating with that, don't you dare bow your theology. You bow that sickness to his knees by claiming in the authority and confidence that Christ has given to you. Amen? All right, let's pray. Just be in position to receive right now, right where you are. Begin to thank him so that faith and confidence begins to build up. Thank him for his finished work. What Jesus has accomplished, he has accomplished fully for you. Just thank him. Receive his work. He didn't just save you. He made you whole. He's done a magnificent work. The Father loves you enough to deal with every single area. My goodness, Lord, thank you. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you have accomplished. Okay, now, with the eyes closed, I want you to recognize the authority Jesus gave to you. Authority to bind and loose. Not just for you, but for anyone around you. Authority. His authority. Did you deserve it? Have you earned it? Of course not. Not even a matter of maturity. It's a matter of simply receiving by faith and exercising and walking in it. Maturity helps. That's not the criteria. It's receiving. Receiving the authority and stepping into it, walking in it, and declaring over yourself and over those that are in your heart, declaring over them the kingdom of God, the awareness of God, the pleasure and purpose and plan and personhood of God over their lives, over yours. This body is designed to encompass and to contain and to exhibit the very life of God. sickness does not belong. Take authority over it in Jesus' name. Take authority over it now in Jesus' name. Be healed. Become well. Prosper. Move forward. Joy, life again. Let pleasure and joy come again. Vision and purpose come again. Breakthroughs. Declare it so in Jesus' name. All right, join with me now. Jesus, we love you, and we are yours. You have declared the work finished and accomplished, and thus it was. Thank you, Father, that the plan that you, the Son, the Spirit, formulated before the creation was formed was put into place and was never thwarted. No matter even what the enemy tried to do, he was simply cast out with a word when he opposed. Nothing can hold back except for those who just choose to ignore and to disbelieve. So, Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, the name that is above every name, that the will of God be manifest in our bodies, the will of God, that we be whole and healthy, that we be filled with life abundant, able to live with vitality and vigor, to accomplish incredible exploits for the kingdom, on behalf of the kingdom, children of the living God, with full access to everything that the kingdom offers, full access to the King himself, given keys to the kingdom to bind and to loose. So, Lord, we bind everything that the enemy has tried to accomplish. We bind him from entrance. We bind him from we bind every accusation, every insinuation, every lie, and every belief system that has come outside, from outside of the kingdom. We bind it in Jesus' name and take its life away from it. We will not give it life by believing it. Refuse it in Jesus' name. Bind it. And we loose now in Jesus' name all the provision, all the healing, all the life, all the plans and purposes. We release that now in Jesus' name for that young man and that young woman that's wayward. We loose them into a recognition of the kingdom. We bind away from them, strip away from them all the tactics of the evil one that would hold them in captivity. For those who are bound in sickness, we declare healing. We command healing and authority by authority in Jesus' name over their bodies. Make right what's wrong, we pray, Lord. We just come into agreement with you. Thank you. We don't have to convince you doing it. You've already declared that's what you do. Thank you, Lord. Now in us, in our bodies, in our minds, in our thinking, and the way that we're conducting the affairs of our lives, and the work that we have, the influences that we have, the provision that we're operating under, the provision that's yet to come, we walk into that by faith and declare it done, that you'll provide just as you do in healing. You'll provide for us financially, breakthroughs, blessing, healing, abundance. Thank you, Lord, that it's so. And we'll confess it to be so in face of conflicting evidence. We won't believe the evidence. We'll believe you and your word. You sent forth your word, and what did you do? You healed us and delivered us. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.